Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful here at your service. Happy New Year, everyone. Let's have a good 2007 together. What do you think? I'm excited about Janet Christie being back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Janet is a member of our Brain Trust and one of the women business experts in our Brain Trust. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned, and she's also the founder and the president of Leverage and Development, LLC, which is a consulting firm that helps women and minorities put their best foot forward in the marketplace. Janet, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Let's have our good 2007 together. What do you think?
Oh, sounds good to me.
You know, I remember Janet, and by the way, Janet's going to talk to us folks during this visit about some resolutions, New Year resolutions for women business owners. But Janet, before we go there, it's interesting to me to see how women are designated. Now, women own way over 40%, approaching 50% of all businesses in the United States, at least, and that's what the bullet is. The record people would say you guys are taking off more women starting businesses than men, percentage wise, especially, and the growth rate of total revenue of employees, the impact women are making is just phenomenal, and yet women are still categorized as a disadvantaged business. For example, people who are disabled are disadvantaged. Then, of course, there is the other category, the minority category, that the government segregates for minorities to give them a leg up. But what do women business owners, how do they feel about being called disadvantaged?
I'm not sure that they have even considered that all the things that word can mean, because in my opinion, the disadvantage comes from the government still in their acknowledgement stage that women have had a disadvantage in the business world. But I think it's probably time to move on from that acknowledgement to more things. And, of course, they are moving on, but they haven't changed the wording. So, you know, when you talk about people or writers and psychologists and things talk about helping people vision and move forward, they say don't use those kinds of words. So I really hadn't thought about this until recently when a newspaper editor asked me about it. But I think it's probably time to stop using that word. And actually, I don't that much, and that's why the title of my book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. But the words are still out there.
Many years ago, I'm talking about a long time ago, a friend of mine, we were vacationing with friends, and there was this. They were the veterans in this particular location. They'd been there before. They actually took us there, and so there was this one place where you could fish off the bridge, if you were disabled or female. That's what the sign said. That's what the sign said. They said no fishing except for women and disabled people.
And she, disabled.
It made her so mad. I'll never forget how mad she got about that. And every time I see her, I still tease her about that. But she was so livid about that. I was a very, very young man when that happened. And that was my first real understanding about how sometimes women are perceived. And of course, in my opinion, Janet, the big disparity for women was really in the area of access to capital. But that's not even the case anymore, is it?
Not so much, because there are programs and
banks get it now.
Yes, and they're actually trying to find women-owned businesses and women clients. They sometimes struggle with how to identify them and how to attract them, but I think they are looking for them.
The SBA reports that women, the Office of Women's Business Ownership at the SBA reports, and have now for a number of years, that women repay their loans at a much higher rate than men do.
I think women don't like to owe people.
Well, they have this strong sense of you know, if I owe it, I need to pay it back.
Yes.
And I'm not and folks, guys, I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying that they have an edge on in terms of you know, defaults. Women default less than men do.
And they'll sacrifice other things to pay that loan back. Mm-hmm. So they'll sacrifice taking income themselves, or maybe growing the business as they could, you know, to make sure they pay that loan back. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Janet, where's your book available?
It's available at all online booksellers and just about every bookstore.
It's called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet Christie, Janet W. Christie is what the actual name on the book. She and I will be right back. When we come back, we're gonna ask Janet to give us some resolutions for women business owners. Ladies, if you are a business owner or you want to be, you want to pay attention to what Janet has to say. I think you'll get some good ideas. 22, stay with us. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage, help you have a maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which is right there on the homepage, and check out our blog too. We update that every weekday, and thousands of articles, thousands of archives, hundreds of Brain Trust members, all those resources are there to help you with your small business, whether you're a male or a female. Janet Christie is an expert in helping especially women-owned business. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet, what would you like to say to the women out there who are... Let's start out with the women who maybe haven't started a business yet, and they'd like to. They'd like to have a piece of the action.
Well, the strongest piece of advice I give to women that are trying to start a business or even thinking about it is to clarify what your business is going to be, and then from that take the next step, which is truly identify your prospects. And that's one of the resolutions in here that I listed in the 10 best resolutions for women business owners, is to be sure that you identify your prospects, because just because someone can use your product or service does not necessarily make them a prospect.
Mm-hmm. So well, when you say clarifying your business, now help us, give us an example of what that looks like.
For instance, a lot of women will start out in a catering business or something associated with food or event planning or something, and they tend to try to do it all. And if they could clarify their business and maybe narrow it, yes, focus it on a particular type, so they want to cater a particular type of events or they want to plan a particular type of events, because if they try to do everything, there's so much diversity in what they're trying to, the needs that they're trying to address, that they spread themselves too thin. They don't become known for anything in particular. So that's just a very simple example of clarify it. But truly focus down on the products and services, and then from there who your prospects are.
And folks, even if you have a business, that's good advice. In fact, especially if you have a business, because many of us wander around using a shotgun when we ought to be using a laser beam. You know, to me, one of the things to me about what you were just talking about, Janet, is that small business owners need to realize that we're not Coca-Cola. You know, everybody out there is not a prospect for us.
No.
We can't do business with everybody. We don't need to do business. We shouldn't want to do business with everybody. We don't have to do that. All we have to have is a small business owners, a small percentage, a tiny, tiny percentage of the people out there to do business with us. And when you realize that, if you can internalize that and believe that, then you can understand the concept of niches, right?
Yeah.
That's what you were saying. Don't be a caterer. Be a caterer that does a certain thing in catering. That's more of a niche rather than just the broad definition. Right?
Right. And then you can determine whether you want to cater for individual events, you know, things like weddings or anniversaries and that kind of thing, or if you want to cater to businesses or corporate events, and then that will determine so many other things, like should you be certified, is there any need, does it matter if you're woman-owned, is that just a comfort thing? But it will just make so many other things fall into place.
In other words, don't just say I'm a caterer. Say I'm a caterer up to a maximum of 50 people.
Sure.
Something like that. Or I'm a caterer that only deals in whole foods. I mean, you know, in organic foods or whatever it may be. We only do blue stuff. I don't care. Just find something that works, right, Janet?
Right. So they'll identify you.
Before you got here, and I have your list resolution. But before you got here, the number one issue on your list is one that I hoped we would talk about before I even knew what your list was. And this is something that I think holds people back, and that is looking for free money, thinking that they deserve free money in the form of grants. What do you think?
Yes, and not only deserve, but believing the people who tell them that there's so much free money out there that they don't need to worry about building a business and working hard. And if I could get all these books off the bookshelf, I'd be a much happier person.
Yeah. The grant. Here's what I tell folks when they email me or call me or whatever happens. However, I find out that they want a grant, I tell them Grant died.
Yes, he did, a long time ago.
And forget about it, folks. And here's the other thing. Look around you and identify the businesses that you admire, the big businesses, the medium-sized businesses, the small businesses. If you could look around in the marketplace and say, okay, that's where I want to be 5, 10, 20 years from now or tomorrow, then go up to that business owner and say, tell me about the grants that you got to help you get where you are. None of them got a grant, folks.
And they probably would be irritated. Either they would be, oh, you poor disillusioned soul,
right,
or they would be like, nobody helped me. I did it.
Yeah. Well, people may have helped them, but they helped them the way the marketplace helps you, which is giving you a chance, not a gift.
Right. And people who spend time looking for that grant money, and if they get you know how some people will ask you a question, and if they don't get the answer they'll ask you the same question a different way.
Right.
Well, people, a lot of times I find that people are looking for grant money, and they keep going around asking lots of different agencies and consultants and other people, and they're getting the same answer, but that's not the answer they want, so they keep asking.
Absolutely.
And they're wasting their time.
Janet, stand by. Folks, there are actually SBA certifications for women-owned businesses that can give you a leg up. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Janet about to explain how those work and if it's a good idea for you. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Janet Christie is our guest. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And having a great visit with our friend Janet W. Christie. It's with a Y, Christie, with a Y, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y. And Janet, give us your website, please.
It's www.leverageanddevelopment.com.
Leverage and spelled out development.com. They can find out more about you. Can they find the book there?
Yes, they can find a link that it takes them to Amazon or Barnes & Noble where they can buy the book, and there's some descriptions of the book. And
capitalizing on being woman-owned. Janet, would it be a good resolution for women to look into becoming SBA certified? What's the term? Is it 8A certified? Is that it?
Well, there's 8A and then there's SDB.
Right. Well, tell us the difference. Explain them to us.
Well, 8A is actually you get a certification as a small disadvantaged business, but it's also a development program. So it actually requires that you have a personal worth of $250,000 or less, and then they put you with a financial advisor. And then after that, when you get finances really settled and straightened out, then they take you onto someone to help you with marketing. So it's a 9-year developmental program.
And this is through the SBA. Is that through the SBDC's office? Is that through the Office of Women's Business Ownership? Who are those people?
Well, SBA really has people in the regional SBA office.
Right.
And
every state has one, if not more.
Yes, lots of states have one, but then as far as I know, every state will offer classes or sort of a seminar on explanations of 8A and SDB, and then there's a few other certifications that women could qualify for. Now, gender alone, just like race alone, does not qualify you for those programs. You have to show true disadvantage, so you have to show that you are, because you're a woman engineer in a particular geographic area, that's a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of it is subjective, so you have to prepare your business case in that.
Mm-hmm. So that you can find out more about that at SBA.gov, right?
Yes, and they have explanations and all the forms. But that's not the only certification. Most states offer certifications for women-owned businesses, and even a lot of cities and counties have started to do it. And
is that worthwhile for women to do that, to go after those things?
It is definitely wise for them to figure out if it would be beneficial to them or not.
To educate themselves about the programs.
Yes. And in my book, I devote a full chapter to it with a how-to table because
right.
It is so important. And sometimes it's not. When we were talking about the caterer, if you're selling to individuals, it's probably not of any big benefit except to, you know, just identify yourself as a woman on business. But if you're selling to government and large business, they want that screening done so that
right.
they don't have to do it.
And there are great opportunities with government contractors, government agencies, and their contractors who have a requirement to do a certain amount of their business with women-owned businesses, don't they?
Oh, yes. And they have to do a subcontracting plan, and then they have to follow that plan or they could lose the contract.
Exactly. So I actually know a number of women who have businesses that have been able to get lots of business, like millions of dollars in business, because they set themselves on the right path and put themselves in a place that would allow them to be, you know, to dovetail into those larger contracts.
And it's a little bit easier than being the prime contractor, too. Sometimes
right.
there's less requirements.
Oh, it's yeah.
Lots less paperwork.
But that's kind of the exception than the rule in terms of women business ownership, isn't it, Janet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most women are on Main Street. They're selling their services and their products to regular customers and doing business just like everybody else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the subcontractors, so many of them are in the construction business or something related to that.
Consulting or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But more women who do things like catering or even florists could be doing business with these entities if mm-hmm. they just started to look at those. They miss so many opportunities because of that.
Well, I'd like for more women to study about that and find out more about it, and then say, and then perhaps they'll say, you know what? Now that I know what's going on, I've decided that that's not what I want to do. And at least you now know that you haven't missed an opportunity.
Yes, sort of like when I kind of insisted that both my daughters work a little bit, either volunteer or a part-time job when they were in school in the fields they thought they wanted to go into.
Exactly. Well done. Good advice. Hey, Janet, give us the website again, please.
It's www.leverageanddevelopment.com.
Thank you
and
for being here, Janet.
On there.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
See you next time. The book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.